It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 41 degrees under overcast skies. Today is Monday, April 14th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wentzel with Raven News. Should the state do more for schools when local governments like Sitka's are not doing all they can? That was the question hanging over a joint work session between the Sitka School Board and Sitka Assembly Thursday night. The board presented a draft budget to the assembly with a modest increase in local support to schools, less than $200,000, but also delivered a clear message that more was needed. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
They're calling themselves the education legislature, but Juneau has not settled on a level of school support this year that most districts consider adequate. And there was a serious attempt to amend the Constitution to allow public education dollars to flow to private schools, including religious schools. This was the backdrop for two recent lobbying trips to Juneau by Sitka School Board members Lon Garrison and Jennifer Robinson. During the work session with the Assembly, Robinson said her efforts to advocate for more state funding for local schools were undermined by one issue. Sitka does not contribute the maximum funding allowed by law to its local schools. Robinson is also director of the Sitka Chamber of Commerce, as well as daughter of Sitka Mayor Mim McConnell. She told the Assembly she did not often get on a soapbox, but Sitka's failure to fully fund schools locally was beginning to take a toll on her.
There's two things that I considered when I moved here. It wasn't how beautiful it is. It wasn't that this has been my home. It was, number one, my family was here, and number two, Sitka has an amazing school system and a place that I know my kids are going to get a great education. And if either one of those hadn't been here, I would not have moved back to Sitka, because as a single parent, it's not worth the struggle of trying to survive in a town where either I didn't have that family support, I wouldn't have made it, or where my kids aren't gonna get a quality education. I have to pay so much to live here, and I work so hard to make it happen that without that education, it wouldn't have been worth it. I'd rather live somewhere else where I can afford to live and make sure my kids are well educated and can be successful. And I am not the only one that feels this way. And if we don't make sure that we are funding our schools, we are going to be cutting the programs that give our kids the education they need, and we are going to lose more and more families. There has to be a way to make a living, and there has to be quality schools for families to stay here. I don't care how affordable the housing is or what kind of economic development we bring in. If we kill our school system now, we're not going to keep the families here long enough to get to that point.
The city of Sitka contributed a little over $5 million in funding to schools this year, about $1.6 million less than the cap, or the amount allowed by state law. The city contributes thousands more to the district in ways that don't count against the cap, through community schools, for example, and sports activities. But Robinson and Garrison said they repeatedly were questioned by legislators about Sitka's failure to fund education to the cap. Assembly members had no direct response to the board's appeal. Pete Esquiro was concerned that the district was reducing staff at Baranoff and Blatchley. He questioned the wisdom of cutting people while pursuing technology goals that would put a computer tablet in every child's hands in the near future. Board President Lon Garrison responded that the landscape of education was changing.
By the time the kindergartners this year graduate, my guess is that well over 50% of them will go on to get higher education, and it will all be distance delivered. The brick and mortar days are fast disappearing, and the world is changing quicker than you can imagine. Things that we did in 2007 and 2008 seem like decades ago. You know, when you figure the iPhone was introduced in 2007.
The work session was a more cordial exchange between the two elected bodies than it's been in the past. In fact, Assemblymember Mike Reif complimented the board on its conservative approach towards its use of reserves and its expectations for state funding. One notable difference with past meetings was that outgoing Superintendent Steve Bradshaw did not speak until he was invited to share his opinion by the Assembly. Over 13 years on the job, Bradshaw has occasionally used this forum to press the Assembly hard. His swan song, however, was conciliatory.
And I know you're faced with tough choices. I know the budget's tight, but I also know that we find ways to get the things done that we want in life. This community has always supported education, from Pacific High School to the auditorium to everything else we've asked for. So I would urge you in the future to continue to do that, because that, I believe, is our goal, is to try to make each generation a little bit better.
The school board will hold a final budget hearing on April 21st and submit a final budget to the assembly shortly thereafter. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Commercial salmon trawlers will have more king salmon to catch this summer. Southeast's harvest quota for all fishing gear groups is 439,400 Chinook. Patty Scannis is the department's troll management biologist for Southeast.
And this is a big increase over last year. It's an increase of 263,400 fish. And the preseason troll treaty allocation is 325,411 Chinook. And this was an increase of about 196,000 when compared to last year's preseason troll allocation.
Abundance is projected for Pacific Coast stocks from Alaska to Oregon, and Scannis says some of the rivers to the south are expecting better king salmon runs.
This year, the Columbia River is forecast at a record 1.6 million fall Chinook. In addition to the Columbia River forecast, West Coast Vancouver Island and Washington Coastal and North Oregon coastal stocks are also expected to come in higher than last year, and these large stock groups typically represent most of our Southeast Alaska catch.
Meanwhile, king salmon runs to the Stikine and Taku, two transboundary rivers near Wrangell and Juneau, are not forecast to have big returns this year. No directed troll or gillnet fisheries are planned around the two rivers in the early part of next month. That could change if returns are bigger than forecast. The higher harvest quota could mean longer openings for king salmon trolling in the summertime. Last year, the fleet had only one six-day opening in July for kings. The short fishing time had the fleet spending most of its summer on a bumper crop of coho, along with hatchery chums and even some pink salmon trolling. Meanwhile, the winter troll season looks like it could continue through the end of April. The fleet had caught just under 24,000 kings by the second week in April. Fishing remains open until the end of the month unless the catch of wild stock hits 45,000. Prices have been as high as $11 a pound this winter, but have dropped to $8 to $9 a pound by April. Commercial trollers also will have spring troll openings in May and June for harvesting some of the hatchery kings returning to the region. The increased Chinook abundance also means higher bag limits for people going out sport fishing in Southeast. Alaska residents can keep three kings a day, bigger than 28 inches. Non-residents can keep one, except during May and June, when that bumps up to two kings. Out-of-staters also have a six-fish annual limit. And Juneau artist M.K. McNaughton asks people about secrets. She doesn't ask them to tell her their secrets. Instead, she asks what it feels like to have secrets. And then she uses their stories to guide her as she draws giant charcoal portraits, three feet tall by 3 feet wide, that express those feelings. 17 of those portraits were shown recently in the Juneau Douglas City Museum, and now about 10 of them are hanging at Rio's Wine Bar in Sitka. McNaughton asked her subjects to give her an image that represents the experience of holding on to secrets. The first person she asked was a friend, Shona Strauser.
Shona's image was butterflies. She said, "The weight of one butterfly on my heart is nothing, but the weight of a thousand is too many to bear." She, people tell her secrets, which I realize is probably why I was drawn to her as a subject, because she's somebody that I feel like I can confide in, and apparently everybody feels that way, and that's kind of a burden to carry.
During the project, McNaughton volunteered to do portraits at Juneau's Glory Hole Soup Kitchen and Homeless Shelter. One of the men who showed up to have his portrait taken told her that there was one secret he couldn't bear to keep.
His mom had been killed in a gang shooting when he was 8 years old and died in his arms. And he described the wounds, and he said, "You know, I have to talk about it, or it's like a brick wall on my shoulders."
Another subject, a radiology technician, talked about the moment when she saw something on a patient's scan that would change her life, but couldn't tell her, because telling the patient is the doctor's job. McNaughton drew her inside the cone of silence from the TV show Get Smart. McNaughton has practiced art all her life, but she only recently started calling herself an artist. She was for years the artistic coordinator at the Canvas Community Art Studio, which offers art classes for people with disabilities, and is now the executive director of the Alaska Arts Education Consortium. At a certain point, she said, she just had to take a leap of faith.
It was just deciding I was going to do it, just deciding. You know, I think all my life I've enjoyed art, and I never called myself an artist until a couple of years ago, probably because I thought it might, probably because it sounds arrogant, I think. I used to think to say I'm an artist, because does that mean I think I'm good enough to be an artist or really good? Or so I avoided that theme, although I would always encourage the children or the artists with disabilities I worked with to call themselves artists. And I finally kind of took my own advice and thought, really, I need to get over that, and we all do. We just need to celebrate being brave enough to try.
Artist M.K. McNaughton's portraits will remain on display at Rio's Wine Bar through the end of May. To see some of her work, visit our website, kcaw.org. And you can listen to or read most Raven news stories again on our website, kcaw.org. To read comments on our stories on Facebook, click on the Facebook link. No registration or login is required. And to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, click on the Twitter link. It's 41 degrees in downtown Sitka under overcast skies. Should be cloudy with a chance of rain today in Sitka's listening region, with temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s. Well, we're going to head into NPR's Morning Edition. Then I'll have a live local interview for you at 8:18 with Isaac Patinkin about the Hames Parent Power Hour and Tot Time. I hope you can join us for that. It's 8:01. This is KCAW Sitka, Raven Radio.